It's 6:45. You're listening to News Talk Breakfast Business. I'm Donald Donovan. Now, Philip Andrews joins me in studio. Philip is a partner at McCann Fitzgerald and co-head of EU Competition and the Regulatory Group there. Good morning, Philip, first of all.
Morning, Donald. Thank you very much for inviting me on the show.
No, thank you for coming in. First off, though, can you just bring people up to speed? It was a fairly manic week last week around the Apple case. What do we know now about that case?
Well, I guess there are two schools of thought in relation to the implications of the case. The first is that it's nothing new. It involves uniform, uncontroversial and impartial enforcement of long-standing state aid rules. And if that is the case, I suppose, as the Commission will argue, there may be few implications, including for FDI. The second school of thought is that there is something new here, that this involves quite a significant, a potentially significant expansion of the notion of state aid. And at this stage, without viewing the decision, and
because none of us has seen this document, this 150-page document.
Yeah, it's very difficult to say precisely on the basis of the press release. But what the Commission needs to show here is, in particular, that there is an advantage conferred and that it's conferred in a selective fashion. And I have to say, reading the press release, it's very difficult to understand how that selectivity criterion is met. You know, is it, what's the reference point, I suppose? Is it other multinationals or is it business in general? And until we know what specifically that reference point is, it's going to be very difficult to say how broad or wide the implications are.
Are other businesses worried? So presumably you advise lots of businesses. Are you getting calls from multinationals? Are you getting calls from domestic businesses to understand the implications of this?
Well, I think people are digesting the news, and again, it does depend on how you read the press release at this stage. You know, it used to be the case that any tax scheme that was generally open and available to business wasn't selective, even if certain businesses did better out of it than others.
Because it just happened to suit their business.
Exactly. So the classic example there is, you know, tax incentive schemes around R&D. So businesses that do a lot of R&D will benefit from that more than businesses that don't or only do a small bit. But until these cases arose, so the Apple case, but also the Fiat and the Starbucks case, which were associated, I suppose, in Holland and Luxembourg. Until these cases kind of arose, that was the view in relation to tax schemes, I suppose, and that was the correct view. And the question people will be asking themselves, accountants and other people, will be whether that's changed now.
So, in terms of the Apple case, we know that there was an investigation for the European Commission. Marguerite Vestager, who is the competition commissioner, she's ruled that the way that Apple's taxes were assessed in Ireland amounted to state aid for Apple. So a benefit to Apple from the Irish state. She's ordered that it be repaid essentially. Where does that fit? I mean, is that part of a trend? Is that an isolated case? The size obviously has caught people's attention, and for people who don't normally look at EU competition law, it's the size that really sort of has grabbed world attention.
Yeah, I think that's right. And you know, the 13 billion is an unprecedented figure, even by Commission standards. I think it's 10 times the amount of any previous state aid outcome. And that is a big figure, obviously. I think, again, how the case is viewed in the long term and whether it involves a deviation remains difficult to say. It does seem, though, to have implications for legal certainty. That's, I guess, a downside that has been attracting some attention.
Legal certainty in that you normally pay your taxes and move on?
Well, I guess the American complaint about this state aid investigation, and possibly not just the American complaint, was that it was retrospectively applying a new standard. And if the Commission is able to do that, then the only way you get really certainty in the future in relation to tax arrangements would be by talking to the European Commission in advance, I guess. And that is...
And hoping that a subsequent Commission didn't change its mind
exactly,
as well.
Exactly. I guess that's right. Yeah, exactly. And I think
That is where the legal certainty question arises, I suppose.
Traditionally, I suppose, in Ireland, the UK and the US, legal certainty and kind of tax certainty are built into the common law model. Is that true on the continent? Is it different on the continent? Or?
Yeah, I don't necessarily think there is a big difference there. I think the difference may be more procedural in that, you know, as has been pointed out, the Commission has quite a lot of power. It investigates, takes a decision, and imposes the fine all itself. Obviously, that's subject to appeal. But that is a kind of a classic civil law kind of arrangement where you have functionaries deciding on these kind of issues.
In terms of where this goes now, it's going to appeal. How long is that likely to take? Do you think this could be tied up for years? Could we be talking about decades?
Yeah. Well, I guess you have a two-tier appeal system here. You have the general court, court of first instance. And then after that, you have a court final adjudication, the European Court of Justice. And, you know, you would expect that to take, if it goes all the way to the European Court of Justice, it could take, you know, 5 years.
Philip Andrews, partner at McCann Fitzgerald, thank you for that. Now, switching across to the markets, it is 6:51 and